Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source of occasional sim racing news. Do not adjust your audio listening devices, dear listeners. I know that I said, me being Ben Williams, said that Team UK would be back this week, but unfortunately, they've decided to leave the country and go do rugby things. So, I guess you're stuck with us. Team US is back. Joining me, as ever, Mr. Lee Satterley.
Hello. I was expecting you to say hello there. It's just like, is it going to come? Is it going to come? No, it's hello. Not. Okay, hello.
How are you this evening, Louie?
I'll start it off with a bit of a headache, but I think we're doing better.
Mm. Good, good.
Feels like we're doing better.
Yeah, how's the Sebring prep going?
It's pretty much all done. I think I just got to fill up a water jug and fling that in the car. And grab all my beer and fling that in the car, and I'll be ready to hit the road on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. You're one of those crazy people that show up at the track a week in advance.
We're not crazy. We just enjoy our fun.
To be fair, I use crazy as a term of endearment.
Well, actually, a lot of the people that camp with us, they have now reached the age of retirement, and they have been down there for the last 2 weeks before we arrived. So
they just stay there for a month, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hashtag life goals.
Yeah. I'll just be happy to get there one of these days.
One day.
Yeah. One day.
One day.
I'm assuming RVs are involved in this. If you're staying there for a month, I'm assuming an RV is involved.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Got a camper that my parents let me stay in one of the beds with, so that is what I do. So, yeah, it's just going to be an absolute riot. Saturday and Sunday, we'll go over to the 7 Hotel and sit out in their grass there and watch the WEC prologue. Might have a meetup with Eve and John. I don't know just yet on that one. Just gonna go out there and have a good time and make a complete animal out of myself.
Please remember to drink responsibly, dear listeners.
Yes, do. Don't Yes. Tragic things happen there at the race itself from people doing just that.
Yes.
So.
We will never forget the infamous awning incident.
That had nothing to do with drinking. That had to do with a dust devil coming through, which actually we get a lot of those out there with the heat.
Yep. At least you didn't claim it wasn't yours this time. You've finally accepted the truth that it was indeed yours.
No, it wasn't mine at all. It was somebody else who camps with us.
Right. Wink.
I bring much bigger tents than that little tiny thing.
Anyway.
So I bring 2 20x20 tarps. And that was not that.
No, that was not that, though. But so, it's more fun to say it was yours.
No, it's not.
Just because of how enjoyable it was to go from watching the feed on IMSA TV to my phone dinging and looking down and seeing a different view of the same thing.
That's funny.
Because there was clearly the thought of, I wonder if Louis near that. Oh my gosh.
Yep, I was right there.
Yep. Literally so, right there.
Which the scary part about that thing actually is that there is a telephone pole right there that has a light on top of it. And if that pole wasn't there, that thing would have been launched sky high. And I don't think it still would have landed yet. If not, it would have ended up in the ocean somewhere. Because it was going. But the other scary part is after it hit that, we had no idea which direction it was going to go. So.
Scatter.
Yeah, it pretty much was that. It was like, which way is this going? Stand back.
Oh, dear.
So.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah. Anyway, just since we've spent 5 minutes talking nonsense, do remember that you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL to tell us what you think about the show. And remember that all of us hosts here are members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective. So, iRacing. iRacing, unfortunately,
that is
made
a thing, yes.
iRacing, unfortunately, made a liar out of me, and I am disappointed.
How?
No Porsche.
No Porsche?
See, we've gotten to a point with iRacing where I'm fully expecting them to pull something fast, like just dropping a car without any warning. Like, that's it. I've gotten to the point where I expect it to happen, and when it doesn't happen, I'm disappointed.
Well, I'm so sorry, sir.
Mm-hmm. I know. Hashtag first world problems. I'm aware of what I'm saying. But, despite my disappointment, and the sheer miracle that we didn't have anything announced before the show went live last week, 2023 Q2 Season 2 update has been released, and we got a bunch of stuff.
Yay!
We have many, many things to talk about. So, first of all, we already know about the late model stock car. We already know about the Formula Ford, the new free Formula Ford. We already know about the Renault Clio. We already knew about the Jerez circuit. Some of the things that were also added, iRacing got a complete new UI visual refresh that I want to talk about. They have a new auto fuel feature, which is really cool. Start zone, jump start assessment improvements, dynamic brake audio systems for the GT3s, GT4s, GTEs, and touring cars. New damage model being applied to the new Formula Ford and the Toyota GR86. New AI racing enabled for late model stock car, the W13 Mercedes F1 car, the new Formula Ford, and the new Clio. A bunch of AI improvements, which means we can do our favorite part of the iRacing notes.
Yay!
We will get to those. And just a bunch of new and general improvements to iRacing. I'm just going to read the direct quote from the release notes, just to make sure I get the language right. iRacing has had some underlying architecture and components completely swapped out for new modern versions that will ultimately behave and function exactly the same. This architecture change includes a new overall visual aesthetic to iRacing, which I really like. They have, of course, talking about the UI, or the new UI that many people who have been on the service for almost a decade now don't like, but as we've talked about in the past, the website version of the iRacing UI, which has been around since the beginning of iRacing, is going to go away probably in the next update, because if I remember correctly, it should be the next update. But iRacing's been doing a lot of back-end work on this UI, and I really like how it looks now. A lot of things have moved around. They've improved where you can see your licenses better, so you can actually read what your iRating is in each of the different disciplines. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really do that before because it was so tiny. They've completely changed how the side panel works so that you don't have all of the options, you have options and then subsections for those options, which just makes everything look cleaner. They've rearranged some things on the results screen, including things like, I want to make sure I'm saying this correctly. Yeah, they've added a new column that's called field size. So you can see how many cars you were racing against for that particular race. There's also an issue that they resolved with those results screens where Wookiee licenses were displaying iRating in the series status table when they're not supposed to when you're in rookies, because that's not the important part in rookies. Your safety rating is. There's just been a bunch of general improvements that they've added in this. I'm just looking down through the notes to see if there's anything in particular I want to shout out. Here's one. Connectivity. When reconnecting to a race, a fresh repair is now always sent to the server, in case that there was a meatball penalty state conflict. For example, someone disconnects right after getting a meatball, but their car state didn't get saved, so when they reconnect, they get a car without meatball damage, but still have the meatball penalty. Now it won't clear. This update on reconnect should make sure the server's meatball is back in sync with the car state. And I'm calling that out specifically because Jordan and I had an issue during the 1,440 minutes of France last year where this happened. One of our driver's computer literally crashed while he was driving, and Jordan went back out with a fixed car with a meatball flag where he literally had to break it to fix it. And we lost many, many laps that way.
That stinks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that they're taking steps to fix those kind of things. Active Reset has also had some issues fixed. Fixed an issue where broken wheels would sometimes not be repaired or be locked for a short duration when Active Reset was run. So imagine trying to learn a track, and whenever someone used the Active Reset, your rear tires are locked up trying to enter a corner. Not ideal.
No, that'll make you spin every time.
Yeah. Shall we talk about AI racing now?
Yes, this is the best part.
Yes. So, AI racing has been enabled on a bunch of circuits. Really, a lot of circuits. I'm not even going to take the time to read them all.
I'll go ahead and I'll count them. So,
yeah. There's also been some improvements to the AI for the next gen cars, the Porsche Cup car, and the Mercedes GT3 Evo. They've also been updated to better have
26 different tracks.
There you go. Tracks or layouts?
26 different layouts. Let's see how many tracks. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Circuit of the Americas, the Long Beach, Watkins Glen.
13 different tracks.
13 different tracks. Cool. All of Watkins Glen and one of the layouts of the Winton Motor Raceway had the AI's racecraft improved specifically. And now it is time for everyone's favorite segment. Mm-hmm. The AI iRacing curriculum for winter 2022-23. Louis, take it away.
Steering class, level 2. Maintaining control on banked or bumped track surfaces. Not bumpy, bumped. Bulletin number 2. Never put anything over 0. An AI safety awareness campaign. Pace car etiquette for the distinguished digital ladies and gentlemen. One simple trick to not jump the green flag. Wow, so easy.
That one might be my favorite of this crop, just because it just sounds like a BuzzFeed article.
Yeah. Servo Droid Inc.'s Guide to Gear Ratio Selection at Super Speedways.
Important and, things to know, yes.
Yeah, and this one I think is my favorite one. Road Course Racecraft by Sir Foster Saunders Hinkle Pattinson the 14th.
There's been 14 people named that?
Apparently so. Sir Foster, too. So there's been 14 Sir Foster Saunders Hinkle Pattinson the 14th. Brain Software Update 022388. Rolling starts for line readers. That's always important.
Mm-hmm.
Fireside Chats with Mr. ABS. Lessons on skidding from Star Cup winners. Don't get DQ'd. Change your tires instead.
Again, BuzzFeed article.
Yeah. Predicting pace car lines and other advanced mathematical formulae. That's funny.
Formulae?
Yeah, formulae. 101 lessons on patience for serving gain time penalties. Yeah, that one's a little bit of a mouthful. Chicanery while pacing too wide.
Chicanery.
The evasion feat, dodging missiles and faster cars.
Little D&D.
And they also fixed a simulator crash that could occur from AI driver steering inputs.
That little D&D joke at the end there.
Yeah. Dodging missiles and faster cars.
Not their best. Sir,
no, but there's some good ones in there.
There's some good ones in there, yeah. You want to talk about the cars real quick?
Let me see here. Where was that? So I don't miss any of them. Goodness, I scrolled too far, apparently.
Yeah, they've updated a lot of cars. Let's not take the time to read all of it, just because I think they've updated something on pretty much every car in some way, shape, or form.
Here we go. I got it.
Okay.
So do you just want to read off the ones that they have done updates to, or?
There's a lot. I mean, they've done things for the entire GT3 class, the entire GT4 class, the entire GTE class, all of the NASCAR Classic 1987 cars, all the Cup cars, all the trucks, all the Xfinity cars, all the V8 supercars, all the touring cars, all of the legacy V8 supercars, the ARCA car, which we'll talk more about that later. And then you can literally nickel and dime things like on the Mustang FR500S. Fixed a misprint on the tachometer. This car's RPM were not calculated in multiples of 10,000s as advised. And I promise, it says this car's RPM were not calculated.
Man, their proofreader was wonderful.
Yeah. No, what I want to talk about is the new cars. The late model, specifically. It's so good.
So good?
Oh, it drives so wonderful.
Oh, it's so good, huh?
Oh, yeah. The first thing I did was, when I loaded up iRacing after the update, was take it to North Wilkesboro. And, you could push the car. I wasn't afraid for my life pushing the car. It just kind of glided around the track. It was amazing.
Wonderful.
I'm probably going to actually try and race this car now, which does mean that I need to make a paint. But more on that later. Because, of course, me being me, I'm going to turn it into a Charger.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. The Clio, I have driven all the new cars. I should have probably said that before. The Clio, you can drive it like a proper front-wheel drive car. It will understeer if you stay on the power too long. The back end will try to come around if you're trying to enter a corner too quickly. It drives like a really good front-wheel drive car, and I actually had fun with it, and I don't drive front-wheel drive cars that often.
There you go.
Yep.
By the way, I love it how under each one of these car updates, they just go ahead and put right underneath there in big, bold letters, NEW CAR!
Yes.
With an exclamation point.
Yeah. The Formula Ford, or the Ray FF1600.
Yep.
So,
new car!
new car! Full disclosure, I don't drive racing slower open-wheel cars that often, so I don't really have a good basis for it. That being said, it took a little getting used to, but it's really fun when you get the hang of it.
Yeah, no downforce for the win.
Yeah, I guess with that speed, I was expecting some downforce, but it's the wingless Formula Ford.
Yeah, so it's flat bottom, no wings.
Yep.
All mechanical grip.
Yep. Also, H pattern.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yep. Which was, I was clicking my paddles. I'm like, what's going on here? Why is nothing? And then I reached down, put it in a second. Oh.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the F1600, I think, is one of maybe two or three cars in real world, even, that are still H-pattern race cars, outside of the classics, obviously. Yep. But
I understand from Jordan, though, that the UK Formula Ford is not H-pattern. It's sequential.
Yeah, because North America's Formula Ford actually uses pretty much any Formula Ford that's ever been built and still races in Formula Ford or F1600.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. It's a lot of fun. You can't push that car, I have found. At least, not in the way that I'm used to pushing a car.
I was going to say, I'm sure you can. You just got to figure out how to do it first.
Yeah. The Clio. I'm going to drop back to the Clio for a second because I forgot to say this. And iRacing, in their infinite wisdom, thought it would be a good idea for the introductory Clio track during week 13 to be Spa.
Okay. So going
into it, I was expecting, you know, bouncing off the rev limiter, coming down to coming down the camel straight. It actually doesn't do that bad. Honestly, you can take a Rouge and Radeon flat out, because of course you can take Blanchimont flat out, but you still have to be careful, particularly on the really tight corners, because front wheel drive car, understeer city wall. Yeah. Couple other things that I do want to touch on with the iRacing update. The new track, Jerez is, it was built predominantly to, you know, host the Spanish Grand Prix, which it did for a little while. But for the most part now, it's basically a bike track. And it feels like a bike track. Whenever you're in the driver's seat, I can talk, I swear. It's so narrow. You can feel how it's like, oh, there's no runoff area here.
Oh, yeah. Well, also at the same time, whenever the track was made for F1, the cars were incredibly smaller, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The
about half the size of what the cars are now.
Yeah. The FF1600 is a lot of fun there. And the Clio was a lot of fun there, too, as well. It took me a little bit longer to get used to the Clio there than it did for me to get used to the Clio at Spa, but that's because I know Spa a little bit better than I know Jerez. So, yeah, a lot of fun. Two last things about the update that I do want to touch on. The new auto fuel feature. So if you're familiar with iRacing, you know, or I've at least heard about the Crew Chief mod. The Crew Chief is its own standalone program that you can run in conjunction with iRacing that reads the information, just bumped my mic, that reads the information from iRacing and gives you call outs on incidents in certain corners. It acts as a spotter as well if you want different voices than what iRacing typically provides. And one of its most useful features is that it can autofill your car for you so that you always have a certain amount of fuel left for the end of the race if you need to do a pit stop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it automatically calculates, okay, you need this much fuel to end the race and then do one more lap. What iRacing has done is now they've added that functionality into the sim itself.
Huh.
So you no longer need Crew Chief to do that for you. iRacing will do it for you. It operates just the same as Crew Chief does. You need to do a couple laps so that it can get like a bearing on how much will you usually use per lap, things like that. And then you can literally tell it that, okay, I want a full lap of fuel left whenever I cross the line, or you can get down to, I think you can get down to at least like half a lap of fuel left when I cross the line. And that's usually cases where it's like, I'm not planning on driving around. I just want as little as fuel as possible so I can be as fast as possible, which makes sense. The one lap of additional fuel is automatically integrated into the calculations that it makes for timed races, just because, you know how time racing works. It might be a 45-minute racing, but you are on the last lap with 46 minutes later. Things like that. It actually will show up in your black box now. It's only enabled on certain cars. I say certain cars. It's pretty much all of them.
It's on certain cars, and by certain, I mean all of them.
Pretty much all of them. Legitimately. Like, I wouldn't expect the late model stock. Well, no. Some of these I wouldn't expect to have this functionality, but it's basically everything but the legacy cars at this point.
Okay.
I'm just like, yeah, it's pretty much everything. The new LMDH is in there. The classic IMSA cars are in there. The Porsche Cup cars in there. The Formula V is not in here.
But at the same time, what race are you doing that requires?
Well, the Formula V doesn't really require pit stops in its series.
Same with the 1600, funny enough.
Yeah. Well, no, it's on here.
I know, but I'm just saying that too. But
yeah.
Hey ho.
Yep, the late model and the super late model on here, the GT86 on here, the USF 2000s on here, and of course GT3, GT4, GTE. Blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute. Oh wait, no, there it is. Okay. I was gonna say, where's the V2? There it is. It's down there. It's on class. But anyway. Yeah, so now that we've literally spent half the show on iRacing. Oh, wait, sorry, one more thing. So much stuff. Okay. So after the update, it was discovered by people doing league races with the ARCA car, because there wasn't a iRacing official series for the ARCA car up until earlier today of day recording. Yesterday, if you're listening to this live.
Okay.
The ARCA car has been messed with a little bit in the background and now has a rev limiter of 9,700 RPM.
Jesus!
So, I don't remember exactly what the RPM limit of it was before. I think it was like 6,500, 7,000, somewhere around
there.
Let's
go ahead and up the horsepower by 33%.
Essentially, yes. I've seen estimates that it's now making around 750 horsepower now. I saw someone say 900, which I think might be a little too much, but and one of the famous clips that of people discovering it, and I'm just going to play it quietly in the background just to make sure I know which track they're at. They're at Vegas, and they're doing 200 miles an hour in the ARCA car. Yeah.
I love one of the tweets. Hey, iRacing, don't you dare take this away. I can't stop smiling.
Yep. So effectively, they've taken the ARCA car and turned it into the Gen 4 car. Needless to say, everyone, particularly that tweet from the eNASCAR competitor Michael Conti, everyone loves this. I have not seen anyone say, "Dear sir, why is this like this? You should revert it back immediately." No, we're all power.
Needs more.
Needs more power. Truly, the only issue with this is that you're gonna overheat now, just because it doesn't have quite enough cooling to make to keep up with that amount of horsepower. But because of this, and NASCAR, sorry, iRacing, we were all concerned that iRacing was going to patch this out immediately. Nope, they are not.
Oh.
This is apparently going to stay for a while.
They need to patch the cooling then.
Yeah, they're going to have to fix the cooling thing, but iRacing has announced as part of this, as this happy little accident, and yes, there was Bob Ross jokes made, starting next week, there is now an official Gen 4 Cup Series.
Okay, well.
Yeah, and the calendar is pretty solid, too. Homestead, Miami, Richmond, Charlotte, Bristol, Daytona, Auto Club, Dover, Atlanta, Talladega, Nashville, Darlington. I might have to do this.
Yeah. Literally reading the official iRacing tweet. It's been a very passionate 24 hours on the oval side of sim racing. It was a mistake on our end, but it's staying. So, yeah. I'm
so glad that they decided to do this. It's so much fun. I've only seen clips of it. So it's literally, as soon as we're done, in 30 minutes, I'm going to go drive this thing.
Goodness.
Yeah, so pretty good iRacing update. All around, I would say.
Yeah.
We are 2 weeks away from the iRacing Sebring 12. Not 24, 12.
You're 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. iRacing is always the week after Sebring.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, Porsche Watch 2023 ? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so enough with iRacing.
Yeah.
Louis, why don't you introduce this next topic while I try to contain myself?
You need to contain yourself. This is a family show.
I will censor myself if I have to.
Goodness.
I have producer powers.
Yes, you do. But you don't want to cancel me at the moment because I'm going to talk about the Forza or new Forza faux pas that we're all picking up on, which I don't know why they're doing this. So, headline here is that some cars are going to be removed from Forza Motorsport's initial base content roster. Somebody's gone through and found out that it is 6 race cars. They would be basically all new to the franchise, actually. The 2019 number 70 Porsche Motorsport 935, 1983 number 11 John Fitzpatrick Porsche 956, the 2017 Orica number 38 Jackie Chan DC Racing, the 2019 Janetta LMP1 car, the 2021 Cadillac DPI VR, and the 2018 Audi R8 LMS of Magnus Racing. No mention has been given as to why these were removed, outside of somebody saying that, oh, we didn't intend on showing these cars on launch, but they've made numerous videos of these cars in-game. They've released numerous pictures of the cars in-game and have decided to remove them. And then saying that follow this space to learn how they will be put back in-game, which tells me that they're going to be put behind a paywall, which that's cheap, turn 10. That's real cheap.
Yeah.
You're going to sit there and say, it's like, here, this is coming to you. Yeah, this is coming to you. Oh, by the way, no, not yet. You want them, you're going to have to pay for them. And how do we know it's going to be a paywall? Because that's what they do. That's what they've always done, is put everything behind a paywall. And I'm actually kind of surprised it hasn't created more of an uproar amongst the community yet. I know there's a small uproar there, but there hasn't been the huge uproar like I was expecting.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that. That's because the Forza community is all but dead at this point.
Yeah.
We've been waiting on a new game for 3 years now, and we get glimpses, we get tiny little peeks behind the curtain, and most of those peeks behind the curtain, I should add, involved these six cars. Specifically, the Cadillac and the Jetta were both cars that were featured heavily during the last time that they talked about the new game on their Forza Monthly stream.
Yeah.
A program that I've been on a couple different times in my Toro capacity. So, yeah. We're already dealing with the Forza Motorsport, which the running joke about Forza is that it's a motorsport game with no race cars in it, which kind of defeats the purpose. And the only cars that are being removed from this list
are race cars. And they're all cars that have not been featured before.
Yes, they are all new to Forza cars that have been featured heavily in the promotional materials up to this point that will no longer be in the base game. So, I have two different thoughts about this. There's the sim racing enthusiast part of my brain that it's a little bit more optimistic about this than the other part of my brain, which is the community leader / series runner side of my brain. I'll start with the sim racing enthusiast side and move to that community leader part in a second. So, as a sim racing enthusiast, I can understand why this is happening. I find it highly annoying that they've...
You can understand why this is happening? Well, because I can't.
A, it's turn 10. So, and we're in a space with sim racing content where licenses are becoming more and more... what's the word I want to use? Argumentative? It takes a lot more... No, argumentative was not the word I wanted. It takes a lot more to get a license for a sim racing game than it used to, because now it really means something just because of the way sim racing has exploded over the last 3 years. Literally almost 3 years. It's almost been 3 years. Wow. Where has time gone? And yet it feels like it's been 5,000 years.
Yeah.
There's also been some rumblings within a community, and I believe Turn 10 have said this, as have kind of alluded to this before as well, is that Forza Motorsport is going to become basically a platform that they're going to continuously update more on the lines of iRacing than the every 2 years release a new game model that they've done for so long. Which, you know, I prefer having that kind of model, the platform that they're always updating, always adding things to, just because it keeps things fresh and new. And there's always something else to look forward to. The sim racing side of my brain is also... I will disagree with you with this one point. I'm not overly annoyed that they're going to become DLC if this is the model that they're going for. Because that's how they make money.
You just revealed something to me that I did not know. I did not know that they were going to try to pull an iRacing and make this a constantly being developed game.
Yeah, there have been rumors
a bit more.
Yeah, there have been rumors that this is the idea for this. Just because they're dropping an S. And they're dropping this isn't Forza Motorsports 8. This is Forza Motorsport, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, but yeah. And like I said before, they featured all of these cars heavily in all their promo stuff up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, it's all they've shown in some of these particular promos. And then they're going to put it behind a paywall. Now that I don't know if this was something they've come to realize since they've been developing this game. It's like, oh yeah, we haven't been making money because we no longer have a game that's out there to be sold anymore, nor one that's being supported. We need to find a way to make that money back, which they decided to do it by this way, which is why I would say that's incredibly cheap of them.
Yeah.
Because let's say, for instance, that they put all these cars in a single pack. That's $10, and how many people are going to get it? That's thousands upon thousands of dollars. But I know, knowing Turn 10 based off of their past actions, all these are not going to be in a single pack. They're probably going to be on six individual packs, and each one's going to show up one at a time.
Mm-hmm. I honestly would rather have DLC packs to know, okay, if I want to get the Cadillac DPI car, I need to get this DLC, and not kind of the things that they pull with Forza 7, where it's like, wait, how do I unlock the 997 Porsche? I need to do what race and what series? Hiding,
but at the same time, and that pack that they're going to make you pay for is going to be six or seven other cars that you're never going to use. It's going to be like a Pontiac Aztec in there, which nobody's ever going to use that. So basically, they're making you pay $10 for one car. So let's see, that's 60 more additional dollars per car. Which,
again,
if they do it that way, which they are notorious for doing,
it's their last. I'm trying to remember what the price of their last couple DLCs were. It's been a while, so I don't remember the actual.
Usually,
amount.
They've been $10.
That sounds right, but you know, iRacing a car is $11. So,
yeah, which I understand that, but that's. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating. The league owner and community leader part of my brain is very annoyed by this because, like, my community has been screaming for more race cars, more racing, new cars, more ways to do races that resemble real-life racing series that, you know, I had plans for at least four of these cars.
Right.
I like almost day one plans for four of these cars.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of up in the air when we're going to get them or not.
Uh-huh.
I mean, particularly that P2, we haven't had a modern-ish P2 for...
That is modern. That's the current LMP2 car that is used globally.
Yeah. We've had to deal with... I don't even remember which Orica it is. It's the Mazda Orica, the one with the diesel engine.
Oh, the Lola.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It is a Lola.
Yeah. That's the old P2 car.
Yeah. We've had to deal with that one being the quote-unquote modern P2 car for two games. Bare minimum. And we know that, well, okay, we don't know that that car will be in Forza Motorsport again, but we've seen it in the first group of promo images that we saw from this title in 2021, I want to say. The one EA trailer that, or not EA, E3, sorry, trailer that we saw that and then we didn't hear anything for almost a full year.
Oh, so reading the comments here. By the way, is this you, Ben Rogue?
No, that's not me.
Okay. Already holding back new content and the game doesn't even have a release date. This is one of the big problems people have with recent Forza releases.
Yeah. You remember a couple months ago when they did their dev developer blog thing.
It went from spring 23 to just 2023.
Yes. So that kind of leaves us, the people who are still left in the community who haven't moved on to different sim racing titles. We're still kind of just hanging in the wind, waiting to figure out or to hear what's going to happen next with Forza Motorsport.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, Forza excels at doing...
Excuse me.
Like, you can have serious racing on Forza, but you can also do silly, ridiculous things on Forza as well that... Mm-hmm. You can't quite do on some of like the ACs or the ACCs or the iRacings of the world. Like, you can't put a massive V8 into a tiny, tiny little car and make it do wheelies. Like, you can't do that in some of these other titles. But with Forza, there's so much playability that you get from having their giant car list that keeps people engaged, even though, you know, we're still... The sign-ups for Torres Next Endurance Championship opened this Saturday using Group C cars and Group 5 cars, and we're probably going to easily get 50 cars signed up for it, because there's still people playing this game that has been out for 5 years now that you literally cannot purchase anymore because there's still somewhat left of a community in this title that still feel ignored by the developer.
Well, in fairness, if you go back to the old adage of what Turn 10's philosophy has been, is that they don't listen to their community.
But they're...
plays right back into that particular statement.
I can't talk about everything that I know, for obvious reasons. But I will say that their communication with the community has increased significantly than when you were on Torres staff.
Okay, well.
So there is some hope. There is some light at the end of the tunnel. But right now, it's taken a hit. It's dimmed a little bit. So I really wish and hope, maybe, I really hope that Turn 10 realizes what this looks like and is going to, you know, maybe we'll get another segment during the next fourth monthly and they can tell us more about why this happened, how things are going to progress. What's the release date? I'll take a release date at this point, frankly.
By the sounds of it, it's going to take them a month to come up with a reason that doesn't sound too far-fetched on why they removed them.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got a couple months, or they got a couple weeks to figure it out. So, yeah, that's enough.
It's just unreal. It's just unreal.
It's just, gosh. Anyway,
it's like shooting yourself in the foot right after you shot yourself in the foot, and then wonder why you can't walk anywhere.
Yeah. Or have you seen the meme of the guy riding a bicycle who sticks the wheels in his spokes?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yep. Anyway, moving on. So we've talked about GTR Revival a couple of times during this show. Sometimes begrudgingly. Sometimes it's Matt ranting because Ian Bell is not good at his job.
Yeah, Matt is not an Ian Bell fan.
Matt is not an Ian Bell fan, no. But they are annoyingly doing some cool things with this GTR Revival game that they are working on. We've talked about the AI things a couple weeks ago. Now they've actually have a poll up on their website where you can vote what kind of cars that you want to see in the game, which is something pretty cool. Admittedly, Forza does have this, but it's like it's buried in their forums, and you vote on each car individually.
Yeah.
So, it's not a great system, but what Straight Force Studio has done is that they've lumped together four types of vehicles. Late 1990s British touring cars, historic Trans Am cars, Can-Am cars, and World Supercars.
World Sports Car.
Sports cars. I'm sorry, I cannot read. It's late. I'm tired.
It's late, but not too late. Sorry, I had to get a Queen reference in there.
Oh, dear. This is going to get us DMCA'd.
I didn't do the whole chorus, so...
Yeah. Save our listeners' ears for that. yeah, so which one of these...
I just do it because I know it absolutely drives Jordan nuts.
Yeah. Which one of these would you want to vote for? You can vote for two in their poll. So which one would you vote for?
All of them.
You got a big zoo. Yeah.
There's no question asked. This is like, what do you want for dessert? And it's your four individual favorites. You know, it's like, what are you doing to me?
Got to pick two.
You can't do that.
You have to.
No, I don't have to. I cannot vote at all, thank you.
Can I tell you what ones I voted for?
What ones did you vote for? I'm going to say... Hang on. Let me see if I can figure this one out, actually. I'm going to say Trans Am because obvious reasons. You being Mr. Muscle Car.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say Can-Am.
Anyway, moving on to the next story.
So I got that right.
Yes, you did. And at the time of recording, they are both not winning the vote.
Really?
Yes. It should come to no surprise to you that Straightforward Studio, being a British company that primarily has a British audience, the British touring cars, the 1990s British touring cars, are currently leading significantly with 39% of the vote. World Sports Cars with 35%, with Can-Am and Trans Am winning up the rear, both with 13%.
Wow.
Yeah.
I find it surprising because... Especially the Can-Am one, because there's just so many awesome cars raced in that. And the Trans Am one, again, so many awesome cars raced in that. Especially the time period they got, 69 to 71, for those who don't know. The Can-Am they have here is 1970 to 72.
Yeah, and with Trans Am, that doesn't just mean the above 2 liter category. It could also mean the below 2 liter category as well.
Yeah, back with the old Porsche 911s and the BMW 2002s.
Yeah, the Datsun 510s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there, at least I haven't found it, there is no end date that I can see to this vote. So if you head on over to, and I'll actually read off the... I'll actually read off the URL, straightforward.com/newsletter/feedback. You can go vote for yourself to see what the choices are. I just checked it real quick just to see what the numbers are currently at the time of recording. And they're basically the same. So.
Okay then.
Yeah. So, we have 8 minutes left, so do you want to quickly talk about Automobilista 2?
We can. Some more DLC coming out pretty soon here by the looks of things.
It came out yesterday, actually.
Oh, already came out. Okay.
Yes.
So thanks for improving, or not improving. Wow, it's late.
Actually, I'm wrong. It came out on Saturday.
Oh, we'll see. We're even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, slipped out with a few bugs, which they have done a few things to improve those particular bugs. Also some improvements to the championship mode, increasing the number of custom championship slots to 5, which is a nice little feature. Adding an option to configure pit speed limit. There we go. In custom championships, and fixing the bug causing official championships taking grid setup of custom championship slot in some cases. I had to read that carefully to make sure I said that right. Mm-hmm. Got multiplayer development happening in 2023 on this as well, which is what they are mentioning here. On this is their development diary, isn't it? Yes, otherwise they wouldn't be mentioning that sort of thing. So some of the developments they got going is Bathurst 1983.
Which was part of the new update.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, it's that thing that you can do on Steam where you have your quote-unquote beta branch. Uh-huh. Where it's like, here are things for you to try out if you elect to go to the beta branch. But they are not quite ready for full release yet.
Well, then there we go. They are also working on the Nürburgring 1971, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the Formula Inter, which if you do that, you clean it up, which is a weird-looking car. I do have to, I mean, it follows the traditional what you would expect of a high downforce open-wheel car, single-seater, but its shape, I would say, is rather unique.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's going to produce a lot of downforce, but at the same time, it won't.
I'm trying to think of what its shape reminds me of.
It reminds me of the old Star Mazda cars.
Yeah, that's it.
But it also has a old USF 2000 look to it with the Van Diemen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I'm getting out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the front wing that goes all the way across is like 100% flat until you get to the very end parts to where it goes right in front of the tires, where you have two dive planes right on top of that, stacked on top of one another, making it a third element or three element front wing, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know if you would consider that three elements because it's only in literally the last third of the front wing on either side.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
It's unique.
Yeah, it's a Brazilian series. Of course it's unique.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, it's just one of the things you don't entirely know how to make you feel when the way that you look at it, you know? It's just, it's like, it looks cool, but why? Sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. As part of this update, there's also a bunch of physics updates to a wide variety of cars. AMS2 has also been working on their AI in the background. They've fixed some issues with several other tracks. This is a funny one. Bathurst updated and optimized foliage shadows, added 3D trees very near the track.
Very near the track.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say potentially a Google Translate issue. Anyway, so yeah, for those who still use AMS2, admittingly, I haven't not played that game since last year, be on the lookout for that. So, in the last 3 minutes of tonight's show, it is time for the Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Yes, head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. Would you mind reading this one, Louie? My voice is shot.
Your voice is shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, fortunately, it is just one highlight for us tonight, and it is the Screen to Speed. We had Ash Vandelay on the show a few months ago to talk about this competition. Screen to Speed by Pennzoil was a special event hosted by Annette Esports and Kelly Moss Racing. Female-identifying drivers competed in an iRacing time trial over the past month at the infield at Las Vegas Motor Speedway using the Ford Cup car. Those top 15 drivers and 5 influencer drivers were added to the top 15, making a total of 20 female drivers being invited to race for the finale live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this past weekend. The racing featured 2 heat races, with the top 5 of both going to the finale. In the end, no one was able to keep up with the pole sitter Saoirse Fitzpatrick from Ireland. I'm glad I pronounced that right. Saoirse took home the grand prize of $15,000 in cash, a new next-level racing simulation rig, which that doesn't make me jealous, and then the opportunity to drive a Kelly Moss Porsche race car in the Speed Vegas test drive alongside Kelly Moss driver and former W Series competitor Sabre Cook. So congrats to Saoirse once again.
Yes.
And that has been the Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Yes.
Hashtag eat more tacos.
Based on the broadcast of the Screen to Speed, I believe this is just the first one of these competitions. So if you are a female identifying driver, be on the lookout for more of these in the future.
Yes.
Yes. So that about does it for us this week. My voice has slowly been going over the course of the show, so I do apologize. I believe, and this may change, because we had to do this change in the schedule, Matt and Steven will be back next week while Lewis and Taylor are having fun at racetracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I expect photos. Just saying. Photos and videos. Please, sir.
That's going to be scary for you.
I meant of the racing, not of the party.
Oh.
Smart Alec.
I might be able to swing that.
Okay. So, that brings us to the end of tonight's show. Say the thing, Louie.
Hashtag eat more tacos.
I actually had tacos for lunch today.
You know what? I've had taco salad for the last two nights.
Ooh, that sounds good. Anyway,
it was wonderful.
Team UK will be back next week. So for all of us here on the US side, have a good week. Stay safe out there. And bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.